You're listening to In This League
on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ace. Featuring Bogman.
Oh, the yummy silence. Oh, it tastes so good, you guys.
Oh, he's on tilt. He's full tilt.
And the Welsh.
Nice.
Bogman, let's not overreact.
Do a little dab.
Are you serious?
Make a little pick. Get down tonight. What?
Nice.
Too high scores, that bad.
Visit InThisLeague.com for full podcasts and more. Coming to your ears now.
What's up? What's happening? It is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Chris Welsh, a.k.a. The Welsh, also known as Bogman right there. That's Scott Bogman. This is In This League, and I hope you are listening to us on the Fantasy Sports Radio app. Did you know there is a free app at your app store that you can download, and you can listen to us anytime? You can listen to all the other guys, and you can listen to us 8 to 10 Eastern right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is the new year. It is 2017.
Yes! That's awesome!
Way to start it out on the shelf, the Welsh.
I was about to say, hey, 2016, all the bad things happened. 2017 is going to start great, and it's not. I'm sick.
And it's gone.
And you're sick.
And I'm sick. I was sick on New Year's Eve. I'm sick right now. And I don't know if I'll ever be better. All of 2017, I've been sick.
The whole year you've been sick.
The whole year. Nothing is looking up for me.
So clearly you got sick because you went just out on a rager on New Year's Eve, yeah. Right? You just went out. You had an awesome time. It's all the cocaine you're doing, right?
Yeah, all the hard drugs.
Four of us wolves running around the desert together looking for strippers and cocaine.
One of my favorite things is banging
Banging hooers.
Yeah, hooers.
One of the things I like doing most is banging hooers.
No. I actually was up until 12, and then I looked over. I was in my bed with my wife, and we're on our phones, just not even talking to each other for like 2 hours. Fireworks are going on all around. It sounds like a war zone, like I was in like Pakistan, all around my house. And then I look, and I was like, oh, it's midnight. I'm like, hey, Happy New Year. She's like, Happy New Year. I'm like, all right. That was it. That was.
And then you both farted and went to bed.
What? That would have made the night better. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna go to bed. Good night. That's it. We made it. How about you? How was your rager? Did you spend all your Patreon money on hookers?
Oh, completely. You know how I do on New Year's Eve every year. I was at home. I got invited to go out to about three things, and I was like, meh. No. Nah. And I stayed home and I watched Hell or High Water. Yeah, I mean, I heard about that movie. I heard it was good. And it was. It was really solid. It was a lot like, I don't know, you know how in No Country for Old Men, it was like that movie was set in the 80s. This was like No Country for Old Men set in right now. Like there were cell phones.
See, what I like about this, this is how good your New Year's was, is like we've now turned to you breaking down Hell or High Water that you watched alone in your apartment. Right. That's how that went down. All right, I get it.
Yeah, you know, I would give it, 9.5 Bogmans out of 10 Bogmans. So
right, that's a lot of Bogmans. That's more Bogmans than Bogman gives himself. Yeah, Bogman fantasy football has ended. I mean, kind of thank God, right?
Yeah, it's over and done with. It was, you know, a year of brutal injuries again. But, it's over with. Unless you're doing one of those weird DFS or playoff leagues, which I'm not going to be a part of.
I mean, DFS is fine. I'm fine with anybody doing DFS on a week-to-week basis. It doesn't change much.
We just can't. Player so pool. I'm jealous.
Can. Yeah, Arizona is, they're just holding everybody down. But I don't like, I know what you're saying. I don't like the playoff league. Like, okay,
yeah,
let's have a whole redraft.
Tom Brady
thing.
But he doesn't play till the second week, so you get no points, but he might make the Super Bowl. But he also could be eliminated in the AFC Championship, and then he's your first pick, and then what's the point?
Yeah, I'm not really with it. I'm not into that. So what happens is our focus turns to fantasy basketball. We've got a full fantasy basketball show for you today. And just to let you know, in the coming weeks, we will have some fantasy baseball stuff coming to you very shortly. If you want to go to InThisLeague.com, you can get your baseball fix right now. We have got one of our first episodes is dropping this Friday. It's a mock draft 1.0 where Bogman and I are doing a live draft on the episode. We have the Fantasy Prospect Podcast, which if you want a little bit of a fix of the minor leagues, I've got a bunch of episodes up there. And if you're still in football mode, Bogman has a NFL draft podcast that you can listen to called In This War Room. So Go to InThisLeague.com to get all of that fixed. Today, we're going to rock you out with fantasy basketball all night long. We've got the tip-off with all the latest news. We're going to play some games. We've got a listener mailbag. And then in hour two, Fantasy Sports Radio Network's own Frank Stampfl is going to be joining us. Frankie! Producer extraordinaire, also a show host on the Fantasy First Look on Monday nights. So Frank's going to join us. We're going to talk about the Knicks and how horrible they are. We're going to talk about James Harden and a whole bunch. It's all fantasy basketball today, so that's what you need to know. Strap in, get ready, but don't hesitate to go to InThisLeague.com to get your full fix of all the fantasy sports, because we have you covered at every turn, I promise you. But don't go anywhere. We got a whole lot to cover. I don't want to waste any more time. It's Bogman, it's Wells, so it's In This League. On the other side of this break, we're going to break you down with some blind plays, some of the biggest stat guys in fantasy basketball, and answer some of the biggest questions. It's In This League. We'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, the tip-off. Bogman, I got some blind plays for you. Are you
blind
ready?
Blind plays.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I play for keeps.
Bum, bum, bum.
I play for keeps.
It's like, whatever, who wants to be a millionaire? Player number one. Over the last 2 weeks, we're looking at 2 weeks, shooting 50% from field goal, 92 from free throw, 1.5 threes a game, 19 points, 8.2 rebounds, 8.2 assists, 1.5 steals a game, 0.7 blocks with 2.5 turnovers a game. That is player number one. Player number two, 45% field goal, 80% free throw. Player number one is better in both. 2.5 threes a game, 20 points, 8.8 rebounds, 1.4 assists, 1.2 steals, 2.8 blocks, and 3.2 turnovers. Player number one is better in the turnover, the steal, the assist by a lot, the free throw, and the field goal. Player number two is better from the three, the point, the rebound, and the blocks. Bogman, make your pick and then see if you can guess.
This is tough because it's really, you're getting the blocks, and the blocks are harder to come by for the second guy. So is losing a little bit in those other categories worth it for the blocks?
Well, I mean, look at the assists. Player number one.
Yeah, the assists are big. You know what? I'm going to go with player one. I think I like player two. Player two is doing really good stuff. But with player one, I mean, you're right there in points. You're not losing much in three-pointers, but you're gaining so much in assists. And I would like to know the ratio, and we should break this down. I'll do this for next week. I want to know how many points have been scored total in the NBA, how many rebounds have been grabbed in the NBA, and try to, you know, break it up to see how many rebounds versus how many steals and blocks there are, to see what the ratio is. Like, how much is one rebound? Should one rebound be worth in blocks? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why, because someone could look and see, like, player number one is averaging 7 more assists a game. That's a massive number.
I feel like player one is GA, but I don't think that's enough blocks to be GA.
He is not. That is not okay. Player number one. But 7 assists more player one is averaging, but player number two is averaging 2 more blocks. That's all. The blocks are massive compared to the assists. Everything else is marginally the same, except in the percentage departments, where player number one is pretty massively ahead than player number two. Yeah, which player
50%.
Did you take?
I took player one. Who's player one?
Do you want to take a guess?
No, I don't think I have.
Well, you took GA. You said GA. Do you want to know who you picked or who you didn't pick?
No, who I did pick first.
The player that you picked over the last 2 weeks, Nicholas Batum.
Nick Batum.
Who I have heard a lot of people talking about trying to sell high on, trying to get rid of. He is Mr. Stuff and Things.
Yeah, it's tough to sell him, though. You know, it's tough to sell him while he's hot because he goes through these little spurts. But it just depends on who you're going to get back, because I do think there are people that still don't like Nick Batum.
Take a guess who player number two is.
Is that Ariza? No, it's not Ariza. 2.8 blocks. It's got to be a power forward or a center, right?
You are correct. Would you like to call a friend?
Blocks. Is that Serge?
No. the Who player that you did not pick. Hit the sounder.
3-6 Latvia. 3-6 Latvia.
3-6 Latvia.
In your face.
3-6 Latvia.
3-6 Latvia.
3-6 Latvia.
In your face.
Kristaps
Porzingis
is the player that you pick with the blocks. They are equivalent in points and rebounds, but Nicholas Batum over the last 2 weeks, pretty massively ahead in that department. And then if you look at them over the entire season, just to get a little bit of a perspective on where these guys are sitting, you have got Porzingis is about the same in the percentage, really actually every department, except the blocks are a little bit high right now. Almost all the same, but on the season his blocks are 1.9, so they're not quite in that 2.8 marker. Nicholas Batum on the season is his Yahoo average. He was pre-ranked 50. He is 50. 14 points, almost 15, 7.5 rebounds, 6 assists, a little over a steal, but the big difference is his field goal percentage on the season is garbage. It's 40, yeah. And he's 56 over the last 2 weeks. So just a little marker to to get you guys working in your brains to know how good Nicholas Batum can be on a given stretch, where it can overpower a guy like Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, but Batum is good, man. What's funny is I talked to Batum last year and I kind of got you on the bandwagon. You talked him up this year and I owned 0 Batum shares this year.
I got a little bit of Batum in my life. Blind play number 2.
Dun, 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 dun.
Over the last 30 days, one player is a top 25 player and one is not. Player number one, shooting just under 45%, 78% from the free throw, 1.2 threes a game, 19 points, just under 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.7 steals, 1 block, and 1.8 turnovers a game. That is player number one. Player number two, shooting a whopping 67% from the from field goal range over the last 30 days, remind you. 78% also free throw, 0.4 threes, 17 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, half a steal, 0.8 blocks, and 2.1 turnovers a game.
I think I know who number two is.
Well, pick your player first.
Okay, my player is going to be player one because I like the 1.7 steals and the 1 block a game.
Did you pick number one because you know who player number two is?
No, but I think I know who number two is.
Okay, take a guess.
Jokic.
It is! Ding, ding, ding! Ah, secret word!
It's the points and the boards and the assists we like from Jokic, but he doesn't do the stuff and things as much as other guys do.
You're right.
So,
but he's been pretty damn good.
He's been amazing. He's been really amazing. Good. I don't know where he's going to turn around. And all they did was they're like, all right, let's do this. Let's get rid of Nurkic and bring in Jokic. And then they're like, oh, look, everything works for him now. So it's working out fine for him. It's all coming up basically.
Like Coca-Cola. Jokic. How can we make this mainstream? Take out the Coke and that'll work. Take out the Mexican Coke and it'll work. Easy solution. You are correct, though. Incredible. I'm super annoyed, though, at the Denver Nuggets account where pretty much every hour they're like, it's a 10 a.m. notice to vote for Jokic for the All-Star game. Please. Please stop. He doesn't deserve to go to the All-Star game. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Do you really think he deserves to go to the All-Star game?
No. How about that backcourt for the West, though? How about Westbrook and Harden?
It's stupid.
It's going to be pretty strong.
They shouldn't even have any other players. Shouldn't even matter. Do you think we'll have the first triple-double? And maybe there's been one before, but a triple-double in the All-Star game this year?
I'm sure there has been
has
one.
Has to be. It has to be like 6 of them. But yes, you are right. Player number 2 is Jokic. Been awesome. You did not take him. Want to take a guess at the player you took?
Player it took with the blocks and the steals.
Here's a tip. Jokic is the player that's in the top 25. This player is not, but I cheated because he's number 26.
He's number 26. Is that Cat?
One more try. Plays in the East.
In the East. Is that Kevin Love?
Player number 1 is Paul Millsap.
Paul Millsap.
Paul Millsap, who I kind of thought I might have been able to trick you to take player number two. I do feel like you didn't take him because you knew it was Jokic. Because in this instance...
Well, it's really the steals and blocks, man. Like, the numbers that, like, the 675 is sexy. But who is going to shoot 70% scoring 17 points for the whole season? So I don't feel like it's realistic. Like, you know, 55% is realistic, but 67%...
58%, almost 59% on the season now in 30 games.
Yeah, and that's, it'll probably go down. I bet you at the end of the year he winds up between 52 and 55%, and that's realistic. I just don't think almost 70% is realistic. That's amazing right now. So I just don't feel like it's realistic. So because I thought that was going to drop and I see the other guy does the steals and the blocks, that's what I want.
Yeah, interestingly enough, on the season, Jokic 49, Batum 50, the two players that we talked about there. So
yeah. Batum. I love Batum. Somebody traded me Batum somewhere.
Not going to do it. There you go. Those are your blind plays. Very fun. If you guys have a suggestion that you want us to play, send it over to me and I'll put it together. And if I like it, I'll put it on the episode. Love to play these blind plays. Bogman, let's do a little segment I called Boner Garage. Boner Garage, like from what's that movie? We're the Millers. Love that movie, absolutely. And he's like, "Hey, Boner Garage, hey.
Boner Garage." Oh, wow! A little arrow there. Even
is that not like the hottest?
Boner Garage, you're up.
Get customers. We're happy. We're happy because these guys are they're just the raging Boner Garage right now. Where James Harden. Bogman, your favorite player, James Harden, dude, had the dumbest game I've ever
line?
Seen.
That's dumb. 53, 16, and 17. That's 53 points, 16 boards, 17 dimes. 9 three-pointers, 16 of 18 from the line. It's the first 50-15-15 line in NBA history, the Welsh. And this one I love.
I saw this stat. This is amazing.
Between what he scored and what he assisted on, he accounted for 95 points. The Dallas Mavericks averaged 95.1 points a game.
The only other player in NBA history to account for more points, Wilt Chamberlain. With his 100-point game. That is an incredible marker. What was so fascinating about that game, Russell Westbrook had a triple-double that night. I didn't even get a notification from NBA, the app. Like, they always tell me. James Harden line was so stupid, they didn't even bother with Russell Westbrook's little tiny triple-double he had the same night.
This was just, I mean, it was against the Knicks, so I'm sure Frank's not going to be very happy about it.
No.
But it was an insane game, man. And like you said, Westbrook refuses to stop putting
what
up
triple-doubles. What is the
number
at now? 17. That's stupid.
17 triple-doubles just every time out. Remember, our line is 38.
I'm nervous.
He's going to go over 38. As long as he plays, he's going to go over it.
He plays 82 games. He legitimately might have 45 triple-doubles.
I remember he got ejected from a game like last week, and he would have had one there.
It's stupid. He's dumb. The other major Boner Garage to have here was Isaiah Thomas. 52 points with a 29-point fourth quarter. Second most fourth quarter points behind Wilt's 31 in his 100-point game. Though
this
I
is
believe
how
he didn't have an assist, though, in the game.
No assist. That was funny. I think Miles was talking about that. He's like, wouldn't you rather have a guy that had 38 points and 14 assists or something? And, which is true. And, yes. You know, a lot of his points in the
two rebounds
came.
And a steal with 52 points.
That's insane. That's just insanity from a point guard to not have any assists. That's the kind of year we're having is, you know, Wilt Chamberlain has come up twice in this segment.
Yeah. You know, what can you do?
95 points. Them for the 31 points in the fourth quarter. So
it's video game stuff, man. You know, I don't know, is the NBA less competitive? Is the talent that much better? It has the structure of defense is so, it's such an afterthought where, like,
afterthought, but the two best defensive teams made the finals last year.
No, you're right about this. It's like the NFL, you know, it's like every year we would always get excited about the Rams and the greatest show on turf, and yet teams like the Ravens with Trent Dilfer would get to the NFL. But what I'm saying is, like, back in the day, defensive player, you know, like the old Pistons, you know, or Dennis Rodman, you can count the defensive studs in the NBA on like one hand. It's like Kawhi Leonard, Patrick Beverley, PJ Tucker, and Draymond.
Yeah.
Who's the other big defensive guy out there?
There's guys we're not thinking of right now. I'm
Gobert?
Sure that there's and there's guys that there's tons of decent defensive.
I'm just
players.
Talking guy like lockdown players, like when Sean Marion was one of those type of guys. When someone comes into LeBron comes into town, PJ
anymore.
Tucker's on him.
Well, there's no stats that say, oh, man, you're not getting an NBA alert that says Patrick Beverley held somebody to 7 points and two boards tonight. You're getting your notification that says Westbrook put up a triple-double. Harden had his 50-15-15 line. So, it's just
fantasy.
Not
what's the best what time sells. Fantasy we've had in forever.
Yeah, it's really good. And you know what? Everybody who was putting Harden and Westy 1-2 were right. We thought it was crazy having Curry down at 3 or a lot of us, I know I did, we moved them up to 2. I mean, it could still wind up, at any point, Curry could go crazy and be the number one player.
Give Curry 30 games and he can go bonkers.
Right, exactly. But Harden 1 and Westbrook 2 or Westbrook 1, Harden 2, that's working. Right now,
it's pretty awesome. It's a great time to be alive. That's when we got Joel Embiid.
Is the only one not working.
I know. Yeah, right. We got great, up and coming superstars and some that are middling, and then you got just the NBA on a night to night basis. People shouldn't forget and should realize how great basketball can still be on a night to night basis. You could be up on a Wednesday night and you could see history, or you could see a performance that you would never you could never see, 5 years ago or 10 years ago. You can see incredible performances at any given night, and not any given Sunday, any given night. Third up here, this is just the and then we'll fill in the blank. And George Hill comes back and concussion protocol.
And it's gone.
And he's gone.
And he's gone.
Gone. Move to the back of the line. Line is for people who have money in the bank. Goodbye. Back in the line, George Hill. Yeah, really disappointing because when he came back, he put up that crazy line. It was 21 points, 8 boards, 6 assists, 3 steals, and a block. That was his first game back off of injury. Missed 12 games.
We've joked about how Yahoo has had him at like the top 10 all year because of his average numbers.
Yeah, and he had that 21, 8, 6, 3, and 1, and he moved down to 19. So he's still 19, but he's only played 13 games in the next game against Phoenix. He went into concussion protocol. Now he's not going to play the next game. We don't know when he's going to come back.
He needs some milk.
That George Hill, he on that mojo.
Go ahead, girl. Get him some milk.
He on that mojo, girl.
Oladipo. And he's back.
And he's back. He's back.
It's amazing.
Thank God Oladipo's back, man. And they spaced it out. They didn't give him as many minutes with Westbrook in his first game back. So he should be getting a little bit better and more valuable, more usage if he's not with Westbrook the whole time. Now they're going to play together.
Westbrook averages like 38 minutes a game. I mean, I get that. Yeah. And when Westbrook is not on the court, Oladipo should be.
Right.
But they got to work together.
Yeah, they're going to have to work together, but it's going to be better for him if not all. If he can get 5 minutes away from Westbrook with the crazy usage, it's great.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Carter-Williams is starting, and Rondo is DNP.
Oh, man. Yeah, this situation's getting weird because Hoiberg is kind of on the hot seat.
He's done. Rondo's done.
Yeah, well, did you also hear that Hoiberg keeps asking Rondo if he's healthy? He's like, are you okay? Do you feel all right? And he's like, I feel better than I've ever felt at this point in the season.
Oh, it's like a marriage. Like, you all right? I'm like, I'm fine. You sure you're okay? Not now. If you don't stop asking me, I'm not going to be okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be mad that you think that something's wrong with me. Yeah, I think Rondo's got to be gone.
Oh, he's gone. But traded. I think B-Dub and our thing was talking about buyouts is looming. He's probably right. He doesn't work on this team.
I think it could be a buyout. And I know Michael Carter-Williams is going to be the hotness in a pickup. I just don't know, how long until they trade for a point guard.
We'll see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Right after Porzingis talked about wanting to play 82 games, and he's out.
He missed the game the next day. It was an Achilles injury. That was actually the Rockets game where him and him and Rose and O'Quinn, and I think the locker room had the flu, and a couple other guys had. Yeah, Porzingis had an Achilles thing going on. He says he's fine. I think he's going to play the next game, but, you know, monitor it. We'll see.
Greg Monroe and Brogdon, they are getting minutes, and John Henson's gone.
Yeah, this is... I mean, it sucks. You know, we were talking about this with who was it? I think it was Dan Vespris that really loved John Henson. Talked about how he owned him all over the place. And the point I made was just like, well, how long? You know, how long till Jason Kidd decides John Henson isn't the guy next year?
All these guys. Brogdon. I'm telling everybody to pick up Brogdon over whoever they ask me. But it's going to stop at some point because Jason Kidd.
Yeah, it's Jason Kidd. It's his crazy rotations. Greg Monroe can be benched at any minute. Now, you know what? It's like Game of Thrones. His rotations are like Game of Thrones. Anybody's head could get lopped off at any point.
Yeah.
Any of your favorite characters can die. So fear for them all the time.
Totally. He's the Ice King. He's just sitting there with his arms out, and he's like, what? What? This is my world. You're totally right.
I'm going to bring John Henson back from the dead now. Look at this.
You know nothing, John Henson. Nerlens Noel, and he's getting minutes. He's starting to actually get minutes, which when a week ago, I was on the Fantasy Insiders with Josh Johnson, I think it was. Maybe I'm saying that wrong. And, you know, we get encapsulated in our world sometimes where we were talking and we were talking for a minute about Nerlens Noel. And he was like, he's got to get traded, right? And I was like, well, Mike, he's best buddies with Embiid. I think Okafor is out the window. And he's like, oh, breaking news. And I was like, is it? I kind of feel like everybody thinks that. But he's getting the minutes. And it seems like
that preseason report, man. The preseason report said there's no way they're cutting Okafor. There's no way they're trading him. They're not cut him. There's not way. There's no way they're going to trade him.
Yeah.
There's no way they're getting rid of him. And that was what we thought, especially when Nerlens Noel came back and got no minutes. And Noel is getting minutes now, but Okafor has been out. So it's just going to be interesting to see what happens when Okafor comes back. Is Noel going to go back to the bench? Because Brown has been praising Noel. He said, finally, I love his effort on both sides of the court. He gives his all on every play, you know, blah, 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 blah. Coach speak, coach speak, coach speak. Is that going to lead to Okafor getting 5 minutes and Noel getting 20? Or is it going to, you know, lead to...
I think it is.
I just think this is all right before Noel gets moved.
Now, see, I just don't agree. Like, and this is a little bull crap, but like New Year's, there was a picture. Someone was joking because Embiid had this shirt about himself, but it was Embiid, I think TJ McConnell, but it was like, exactly. It was Embiid, McConnell, Ben Simmons, and Nerlens Noel. It was those guys out together. And Okafor is nowhere to be. I just don't think Okafor fits. Embiid and Noel are buddies. Ben Simmons and the crew. Embiid, not that he's like DeMarcus Cousins, but I don't know if you want to like go and obsess. That Embiid, those two can learn to play next to each other. Okafor doesn't play with Embiid. Okafor, I guarantee, I will bet you raw garlic Okafor gets traded. I'll bet you, LeBron James bet here, I'll bet you Okafor gets traded and not Noel.
Okay, so let me just get this straight. The bet is if Okafor gets traded and Noel doesn't, then I have to eat raw garlic.
Oh, God, we want to actually do raw garlic?
Well, that you just said it. You just made the premise.
I say
of the
a
bet.
Lot of shit. Okay.
Are we doing the bet or not? You decide.
All right, we'll do it.
Okay. So if Okafor gets moved, I eat raw garlic. Noel gets moved, you eat raw garlic.
Yeah, unless you know something right now where Noel just got moved.
I swear to God, I don't know anything.
And if neither one, we take a shot of whiskey and we live a happy day.
Yeah, exactly. And that's by the end of the year. It's not like this is going to be a three-year bet when they're all
No,
the same
no, no. This is this year. This expires
this year only.
After the trade deadline.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm on it. There's a good chance none of them move. So.
Yeah, well, I don't want to eat raw garlic. All right. Tyreek Evans, and he is back, and he is back, and he's in the swing of things, and he's getting some minutes.
Yeah, he's getting some minutes, and it's, you know, I think RotoWorld is probably Gallagher. We don't know who writes the blurbs on a day-to-day basis.
Anything that's creative, not that anyone's not creative, but, like, Gallagher is not afraid to take the liberties of, like...
Run, don't walk. Run, don't walk is the big thing. I love it. But, they were talking about how, you know, Gentry just played him, you know, more minutes than he said he was going to. He said it was a 15 minute cap on his minutes, and he played like 20 the other night. So it's just he was on a hot streak.
This is a great sign.
Take the guy out.
Yeah, this is a great sign. Like, we are both terrified of Tyreek this year. Like, both terrified.
It's a great sign. It's a great sign. The more minutes he gets, the sooner he'll be out, and you won't have to worry about him.
And then we can care about Tim Frazier again.
Exactly.
All right. We got two up here, and I'm calling this trades, bitch.
Yeah, I said bitch. Then I made it out.
But you said though. You said
yeah.
Bogman, the Hawks are listening on offers for Paul Millsap because he can and apparently has informed them he will opt out of his contract this year. So the Atlanta Hawks are fielding some offers. What do you think about this? We're gonna ask Frank about this.
Hey, Hawks, can I interest you in some Montrezl Harrell?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hey, Hawks, can I interest you in some Clint Capella, perhaps? Maybe that gets it done. Because
he's a
Harrell's
little broken
good.
Down, but with a little bit of TLC, he can. Hey, he had.
Hey, he can. He's gonna last longer than Millsap.
So. Hey, Hawks, can I interest you in a little bit of a TJ Warren? Oh, hey, Hawks, could I interest you in a little bit of a Brandon Knight?
I don't like that your offers are better than mine.
Mine are way better. Hey, Hawks, would you be interested in a little Alex Len? You don't have a big man anymore.
But why would the Suns trade for Millsap? They're not going to the playoffs. Millsap.
No, they're not. They're not. But so, you can't have
the Rockets are.
Okay, let me put this there. Eric Bledsoe, I believe next year, will be going into year three of that four-year contract he signed. Mm-hmm. And if they hope to re-sign him, you can't let him get to the final year. If you hope to re-sign him, you have to show that you're ready to win.
Okay, so you're saying Bledsoe for Millsap.
I'm not saying Bledsoe for Millsap. I'm saying you get Millsap on that team. So then you've got Millsap and Chris.
Yeah, but Millsap's still going to opt out and go sign with, you know, whoever throws the most money at him.
We negotiate a contract.
I guess if you have him, you can offer him the extra year, right? I guess that's the point.
Yeah, exactly. And
I'm with you. I mean, I like that the cap expanded so the Rockets can throw more money at James Harden.
Doesn't matter. He'll be a Warrior anyway. So.
Yeah.
All right. Right. The other one, speaking of which, we've talked about it. Brandon Knight is expected to be moved by the deadline.
I mean, this is the first time they came out and said, we expect to move Brandon Knight.
No, which, we're not. We've been talking about it since preseason.
Yes. Right. We have been saying, yeah, they're going to move Brandon Knight. But this is the first time the Suns have come out and said it.
I mean, so, we have been saying he will be traded. Not probably. He is going to get traded.
Right. Exactly. So he's going to get traded.
To the Hawks. And Paul Millsap.
Yeah, not to the Hawks, not for Paul Millsap, but he will get moved. So we'll see where he goes. I think I'm adding him if I can, because
like
I think wherever he goes, he's going to be more involved, right?
I love trading for both of these guys. I mean, not that Paul Millsap comes at a discount. I don't see one situation that hurts Paul Millsap unless he goes to the Spurs. So that's one, right. I guess.
Yes.
Every other one is good, I suppose. And Brandon Knight, every place is going to be better because he's going to go to start. How about Chicago? Yes. Hey, Brandon Knight doesn't need to take up the ball. How about that?
You like that? I like that.
Doug McDermott? I bet the Suns would take a pick in Doug McDermott.
I think they would. I think you're right. I'm excited about whatever spot he moves to. I'm all about it.
I agree. All right, last up here on the tip-off, Bogman. Pickups, drops. Drop it like it's hot.
All right, so the ads here. We got Josh Richardson, Malcolm Brogdon, Montrezl Harrell, Cody Zeller, James Johnson, John Luer, Tyler Johnson, man. Michael Carter-Williams, Luol Deng, Joe Kim Noah. So on the ads, I think your top three are the top three on the list, right?
Yeah, except I want James Johnson. I might take Johnson over Montrezl, but Richardson and Brogdon, guaranteed. I might take Johnson over Montrezl because, I'm going to stick with that.
The only reason I wouldn't, because I think in most cases I'm with you. The only reason I wouldn't is because Capella's hurt. He's going to be out for at least another month and a half. And they're trying to trade for a big guy, which tells me I don't think they're very confident about Capella returning this year. So I think I'm going to keep Harrell in my top three.
But if they're trading four, that's going to hurt Harrell. Like, who are the Heat bringing
in?
I don't know
that it's going to hurt Harrell as much, but it's gonna hurt Capella a lot.
Does he have the best name, too? Montrezl. Every white guy is so excited to say his name. We're like, Montrezl. What's up, Montrezl?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Whoever they bring in is gonna hurt him. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe I would put James Johnson over him and Brogdon, because Brogdon has Jason Kidd with the craziness, and we don't know what all is going on there. And Harrell is probably gonna lose some time either to Capella or a person they trade for. So you're right. I think we just figured it out. Richardson, then James Johnson, I think, and then Brogdon and Harrell.
This whole list works. Honestly. Yeah, Tyler Johnson, Michael Carter Williams, I can see as a pickup, but you know, when you get down to the ranking of it, Richardson, Brogdon, and then a combo of Harold Johnson. Cody Zeller.
I think I'm with you. Zeller or Dang.
Yeah, those two are the bottom. Like, I picked up Noah, and he has off and on decent nights. John Luehr, same thing. Zeller and Dang kind of don't belong. All those other guys can be housed.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. The drops, the Welsh, big names in the drops. Tim Frazier, Clint Capella, Darren Collison, Kyle O'Quinn, John Henson, J.R. Smith, Yosef Nurkic, J.J. Barea, Jeremy Lin, Patty Mills. As soon as I compliment Patty Mills, by the way, and he hits a three to beat the Rockets, after that, he's been garbage.
I think every single one of these players could be dropped in the right instance. I don't want, like, the ones I'm personally going to fight dropping are obviously Darren Collison. I don't want to do that.
I think he's the biggest by a lot.
I would.
And Lin. Lin's pretty big, too. Lin, I mean, I know Lin's hurt, but
Frazier, I'd still attempt to not drop.
Frazier,
I know.
Just with the minutes and the. I mean, as soon as Tyreek Evans goes, Frazier's going to be fine, but.
Yeah. Collison and Lin are probably the, like, yeah. Everybody else.
Yeah. Especially Nurkic has been terrible. Barea has already hurt again.
Like, who would you not drop for Brogdon out of that list?
Okay, I would drop Collison for Brogdon.
You would or wouldn't?
Would not.
Okay.
I would not drop Lin for Brogdon. I think everybody else is droppable because they're either hurt or just not performing right now. Brogdon is.
Yeah, so. I agree with you for the most part. Possibly, pending my team, I could talk myself into some combination. But yeah, I think I'm with you.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, there you go. There is pickups and drops.
What a sexy little list, Bogman. What a sexy little list for the new year. It's a beautiful thing.
All right. So we're done with the ads, the players, the blind plays, all the stuff and the happenings and the amazing James Harden lines. Now we are going to take a in-depth look at your questions. And of course, you can always send us those questions on the Twitter machine at Bogman Sports, at Is It The Welsh. And we will be back right with your listener questions after this break. Don't go away on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, Bogman, mailbag, your questions, as I said, our answers. First up, how could we have one that doesn't start with Alan Abad one?
Oh, hey there, man. Where are you from? Is it right near the beach, boy?
Right near the beach. Boy!
All right, it says, oh, and of course, Brogdon Mon is on here. Would you rather add...
Brogdon Mon.
Who would you rather add in a 18-team, 9-cat, head-to-head? Brogdon or Bender, boy?
I think that's tough a little bit because you have the craziness with Jason Kidd.
Is that a dynasty?
No, I think it's just 18. It's just a lot. Yeah, I think Brogdon. It's kind of tough, but it's not really. Because I could see in a month saying Bender, right? You wouldn't be surprised at all.
You and I talked at the beginning that Bender wasn't an early season guy, but guaranteed come February, the Suns are already giving Bender minutes, and it just is 2017 in January. Bender's going to be a second half player. That's what he's just going to be, and he's going to have value. So I agree. 2 weeks this could change, but it's Brogdon right now.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you. Brogdon for me. It's Bivel for Shizzle and all about Bivel. Brogdon. Brogdon, man.
18 team, too. I mean, that's where it makes it tough because, you know, you really want to hit.
Yeah, I think at 18 team, you want the guy that is playing well right now.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. But, like, you'd also love if you had the option of... Oh, yeah, this is a good question. If you know... Okay, how many... What would we say? There's, like... How many 4 months left in the season? No, there's really three. All right.
Yeah.
If you could have 6 weeks of Brogdon now or 6 weeks of Bender on the second half of the season, what would you take? Let's say they're relatively close. They're good Brogdon numbers now, and they're good Bender numbers, what you think they would be.
Bender, Bender, Bender. Give me Bender, man. I want the guy playing well in the playoffs. That's what I want. It just every time, 9 times out of 10. So.
Right. I still lean Brogdon here, but that does change it. Another one. At Brett M. Peter, Darren Williams or Brogdon? And he said, by the way, fantasy questions on New Year's Eve. Happy New Year. Because Bogman and I are effing losers who sat at home. But did you even drink on New Year's?
No. I worked. Yeah, I worked for like 11 hours on New Year's, and then I came home and I was just so tired. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch a movie and go to bed. That's it.
I had like one glass of whiskey. I found and I was sick too. But I'm just a masochist. But I had some.
I didn't drink, but I had one glass of whiskey.
No, I didn't drink, but
I mean,
a little
not
bit.
Drinking.
Yeah, straight.
So.
Yeah, I found another bottle of Blanton's and I had a nice, very smooth glass of Blanton's and I was like, I'm done. I was like 8. I'm like, I'm done. No more drinking.
Yeah, it's kind of a waste to drink the good stuff when you're sick, right? You drink the crappy stuff when you're sick.
No, not necessarily because I didn't want something rough. Like I have a lot of whiskey here actually. I have a good collection now, but like
you should drink the crap when you're sick because you can't taste it as much.
Well, I'm drinking actually Old Granddad Bonded 100 proof right now.
Old Granddad Bondage. That's a weird fetish.
Like $13 and it is better than $40-$50 bottles of whiskey I've had. It's incredible. That's what I'm drinking right now. But, you know, if you're going to have one drink, like, I might make it a good one. If I'm going to have, like, 6 drinks, good, and then go crap.
I like how you have, like, single-A whiskeys that are going to be good eventually. Yeah. That's probably my favorite thing of your whiskey collection.
I'm looking at them. I got all different ranges. I do. I have some prospects. I've got some old veterans. And, you know, I've got some stars. I got a couple stars in here. But the question, by the way, Darren Williams or Brogdon?
Darren Williams. I love Brogdon and everything, and he's good. But I got to take Darren Williams while he's the hotness, while he's healthy. And while he's healthy, he's usually the hotness. So I'll go with Darren Williams. I'm not a big Darren Williams fan, but he's a veteran. He's been around. We know his role when he's healthy.
I'm going to go Brogdon because... Even though it's Jason Kidd, yeah, it's a prospect. It's like old granddad. It's old granddad. He's bonded. Bonded Brogdon. I am going to say Brogdon. Yeah, I like it. I think he's the one that could have season value the whole time. Like Darren Williams can put up bigger numbers, but Brogdon seems to kind of fit the stuff and things marker, you know, that the Bucks want. I mean, you know, we're not losing minutes from Antetokounmpo or Parker. You know, guys who do stuff and things are going to get the minutes. Dele is losing minutes, and Brogdon, I think, will continue. So I'm actually going to say Brogdon because Darren Williams is going to break the F down because he does. That's the Darren Williams.
Yeah, I just don't know if there's much difference between him breaking down and Brogdon being benched for somebody else.
Yeah, you might be right about that. Another New Year's question we got. At S. Reed 102980. Okay, look at area code. Josh Richardson or Elfrid Payton, not rest of season, right now.
All right, so you got to go with J-Rich. Gordon Dragic is hurt. Richardson starting at point guard. I like Payton. He's playing better, but I got to go with J-Rich.
I'm going to do the same, and that was what I said. J-Rich, I mean, he's... I saw somebody say, like, he's a must-own. I don't know if he's a must-own, but, like, yeah, you should own him. You should. He's not must. You should own him. And in that scenario, I don't know, Elfrid Payton, he hurts you. He helps you. Depends on your team's construction. You know, Elfrid Payton in a points league, that's fine. But, you know, in a category league, I will go Jay Rich. Number four here, at that white guy 94. Okay. Who would you rather own in a nine-cat head-to-head? It's the same kind of questions.
Yeah,
Justice Winslow or Josh Richardson?
Dude, Richardson, Winslow, and Brogdon were the questions this week, and that's you know, and that's why they're in here so much. I told everybody Winslow. That's what I said, and I want to hold to it. But with Winslow immediately going out as soon as I said his name again for the 100th time this year, I think I got to go with Richardson now. I think I like Winslow stuff and things better. And Dragic is going to come back. And see, this is the thing, though. I think Winslow, we know, is going to get the minutes, right?
Yeah.
But Richardson is playing so well now, but we have Dragic coming back, and Deion Waiters is going to come back. So what is it all going to look like for Richardson when all those guys are back?
So I think
I think for the season, I'm going to change my mind again. I'm going to stick with Winslow.
I'm with you.
But I think I feel like it's Richardson close. Now has higher upside.
And it's close. It's close with those guys. Would you agree
that he has a higher upside, Richardson?
Yeah. Especially if he's playing point guard. I mean, he's proven. Josh Richardson's good. And that's why, you know, we both, or I don't remember if you did, but like the right now question, we both said we want Josh Richardson because he's good. And if Dragic gets traded, even better. But there are guys returning that are going to get, there are guys that are returning and going to get healthy, and that's going to affect Richardson more than it affects Winslow. James Johnson affects Winslow, but he's still playing his game. So I want Winslow, but Josh Richardson could easily, he has the higher upside, and he could be the guy all year, especially if Dragic gets traded, they don't bring a point guard in, and it's him and Tyler Johnson.
That's the thing, and we think that Dragic is going to get moved eventually. So.
We hope. Last one, at Steven_626. Who to drop for George Hill on my teams? Spates, Henson, Bojan, or Farid? And then I guess he also has Bazemore, Jay Rich, Robert Covington, and Josh Henson. So who of that crew would you drop for George Hill?
My original answer was Bojan and Bazemore. Now I don't mind if it's Henson for both either.
Yeah, I didn't say Bazemore. I said Bojan, Spates, but I actually agree that Henson is now added to that list as well. I'd be fine with
that. Yeah. That's what I did. And to be honest, I don't know if you want to add George Hill right now. George Hill is amazing on per game averages, but he's missed stretches of, I think it was 8 and 12 games now. So,
well, there you go.
He's missed 20 games. Yeah. It's rough to own him. If you don't have an IL spot, I don't know if I want to add him over anybody.
I agree with you. The IL spot, if you don't have it, it could be a game breaker. There you go. Those are your questions. Want to remind you, the new year is here, and the ITL Army has taken its newest form with its newest benefits. So if you haven't checked it out already, make sure you go to patreon.com/ITL Army or inthisleague.com, and there's plenty of links that you can get there. What we have done in the new year is we have four different categories that you can join as. Three of the four get you this secret show that Bogman and I do, and we're now doing two a month. And by the time you're listening to this, the secret show for 2017, the very first one, will be up. And next week, we'll play a little snippet of it. As well, we are going to have a chat on the last Friday of every month, a fantasy chat about any of the sports that you want. We'll answer them. We've got other incentive perks of percentages off of swag, which we've got some great new shirts that are going to be coming out, exclusive league access, giveaways that we're going to be doing in March. We plan to have a nice big giveaway. We're going to do bigger ones at least quarterly. So make sure you're checking it out if you want to support independent podcasters, you want to support Bogman and the Welsh, and you want to have so much fun.
So much fun.
With your fantasy sports game. You want to upgrade that sucker and be a and be a soldier in the ITL Army. All right, there you go. There's hour two. Your questions, the blind plays, which if you missed the blind plays and you just tuned in, go back and listen on demand. You're going to get this full show at fantasysportsradionetwork.com. Search In This League under shows or schedule. You'll find us. We're here every 8 to 10 Eastern, or you can go to inthisleague.com and you can find the podcast. The blind plays, I think, are very helpful and fun. We had a whole bunch of coverage in the first hour. At the top of next hour, Frank Stanfill, right here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, is going to be joining us. We've got Knicks. We've got player debates. We're going to play our player debate game, and we got some good laughs. Frank's a great guy, great host, so don't go anywhere. Hour two, it's more fantasy basketball. Time to win some championships, know when to trade, and know what the hell you're doing. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's hour two of In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm the Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. And I didn't even mention this in the first hour, but God, I am still sick. Why did 2017 have to start with being sick?
It's your year, the Welsh.
Yeah, totally.
It's your year. Stupid. 2017 is all about the Welsh. It's coming up all the Welsh.
Yeah. I can't even say anything. I feel like I sound... That's the worst thing about being sick, by the way. I feel like I sound like an alien, but I probably sound like three notches different than I really do.
Yeah. You sound much better. Like, you don't sound horribly sick. You just sound really stopped up.
Oh, do I? I don't have the baritone. Like, I feel like I have the baritone. Like, the arsonist has oddly shaped feet.
Mickey Mouse shrieked in pain as the bear trap severed his right leg.
Ben a little. Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Anything?
A little bit. Not much.
I probably just sound nasally and annoying. You know what would have fixed it? My wife told me. My wife told me this would fix it. She said, eat garlic. She's just like, go eat garlic. And I was like, I'd rather be sick. I'd rather be sick than eat garlic. And then because
I tell you what, I'll eat some garlic if it comes with some pasta and some Alfredo sauce and
raw garlic. A garlic clove is what you were having to eat. No way. And this popped up. I saw LeBron James lost a bet and he had to eat raw garlic. And that was just like, oh, that's funny, blah, blah, blah. And then I was thinking, like, he's betting a lot. Like,
how much does he have to mirror Michael Jordan?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Like Michael Jordan, like, those two are compared because of performance their entire career. But then I was taking a look and I was just like, they're going in every path, except there's one major thing. LeBron James isn't like a total dick. He's just not.
Well, yeah, he's not a dick, but he has done dickish things, like the whole thing where, you know, he announced where he was going and everybody gave him crap about that. And, you know, I was even upset about that. But I think it's been long enough. We're over that. We've seen him do.
Yeah, but
so
he did it for like
things.
Kids. He did it for like kids.
He
like,
did.
Like Michael Jordan is like $1 million betting and like illegal poker things. And like there are
holding up the bus to play horse.
Oh, yeah. The stories of what he did because of his gambling habit they're infamous. He is infamous.
It's only Tiger Woods is the only worse athlete than him, besides, you know, murderers and, you know.
Yeah, from that level, the high level.
Right.
So it's just funny. It was, you know, LeBron and Michael Jordan, their comparisons are so deeply ingrained that I'm even seeing the gambling, but it's so different. Like, Michael Jordan can't let go of betting.
A Cubs jersey. LeBron's wearing a Cubs jersey.
Yeah, like Michael Jordan, he's like buying like $20,000 rings to get in people's head to go win $1 million in a bet. And LeBron James is eating like raw garlic because he lost a bet. So the world's a little bit different nowadays. LeBron James is interesting. But besides the point, we've got a whole bunch more fantasy basketball information to cover as Frank Stanfill, right here, FNTSY's producer and show host and writer over at Roto Experts, is going to be joining us. We're going to talk about some Knicks, some Harden, some Westbrook, whole bunch more. Plus, we can have some player debates at the end of the show. So don't go anywhere. Frank Stanfill joining us on the other side of this break. It's In This League on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, boys, it's week 11, and this is a first-time guest. This is a first-time guest on the episode, but it's not the first time we've had the pleasure of spending some time with one of the up-and-comers. I can actually say this, like, the first time. He's probably been around longer than us, but it's like one of the up-and-comers in the fantasy world here. He writes a weekly waiver wire article for Roto Experts, which you have to know. He's one of the hosts, one of the three hosts on the Fantasy First Look, which you can hear on FNTSY, Mondays 8 to 10 Eastern, and he's just one of the rock stars out there. We love him. You can find him on Twitter at Roto Frank. It's Frank Stanfill. What's up, brother?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me. Just want to get this off my chest real quick. I'm a huge fan of the show. Kind of like a little fangirl from the 90s, and you guys are my Spice Girls, and I'm meeting you for the first time.
Oh, okay. So wait, now who's
who? If you want to be my lover,
you got to get on my show. Okay, so who's who? This is like, Frank, the future of you coming on this show rests on which Spice Girl we both are.
Well, no, I don't care which one I am, so you just
I do. I do.
Yeah. Oh, man, so much pressure. I'm trying to remember all the names. Bogman has to be Posh Spice. That makes the most sense, right?
I agree with that one. She's a bitch, so that's Bogman. All right. There's only two that I can be. There's really one. There's one winner here. This is the one that I was obsessed with.
What, do you want to be Jerry Hallwell?
No, that wasn't the one I was. No, I mean, that would be a correct answer. Thank you for ruining that. That would be, but there's one other that was my obsession.
Was it, what is it, Ginger Spice, I think?
No, that was Gary Spice. That was Hallwell.
That's Hallwell.
Scary Spice?
No. No.
It's all right. Come on, he's sick. It's
how are fine. We not talking about
Sporty Spice?
No.
The other Spice.
The baby Spice. The blonde with the big.
I totally forgot about her.
I thought that was Sporty Spice was the blonde. Which one's Sporty Spice?
Sporty Spice is the one that was.
Oh, she's the one with the weird teeth.
She's the one. Yeah. They're all. Okay. Yeah, all of them. No, she's the one that probably her and Scary Spice were getting down. Come on. The blonde one? The blonde who wore the like 4-inch heels. Always wore the little.
Coming back to me now.
Yes. All right. Well, that's the one I wanted.
Frank was probably like, you know, 4 when that came out.
But thank you very much, Frank. That's we love you. We love hearing that. We are all about hearing about how great we are at any really given point. We don't hear it very often in our normal lives, so this is where we're looking for.
That's the fourth time we've heard it, so we really appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, but you know, people are going to be they're going to be in placement to be a fanboy of you because you're doing big things. You got your own show, Fantasy First Look, on FATSY, which is a great show. Bogman and I have both been a part of. You're writing for Roto Experts. What's going down in your world right now?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm about to turn full attention into basketball and baseball. I mean, as great as the football season was, I'm kind of over it, man. Like, I just want to jump right into baseball and basketball. Just got to sit down for a few months, just lock myself in the dungeon, start crunching stats, and, you know, take it from there.
Yeah, and you know, if you don't know this also, Frank is a radio producer. He's one of the producers over at FNTSY. Our buddy Joe Pizapia, Joe called me up, hey, can you come on? I'm like, sure, dial up. It's Frank. So Frank's producing shows. He's hosting. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at @Roto_Frank. Follow all the happenings that are going on. This is a basketball mind. This is a sport mind. Everyone knows.
Follow Baby Spice. Is it the Welsh?
Follow Baby Spice. Exactly. Baby. She was the hottest. Like Bogman. Do a search real quick.
I thought Ginger Spice. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, because you like the redheads.
Yeah, I also like Posh Spice because I like chicks that are complete assholes to
me, so like you definitely would want a girl who has high heels but then they step on you with them. Like I don't want that.
Yeah, well, I'm not like not in the junk, but like, you know, I'm not into being hurt. I'm just into like have, you know, being yelled at. Yeah. I don't know why.
But you're not into stuff like that, Bogman?
No, I'm into many, many things, but that is not one of them.
So you being into being yelled at, that's why you and I do the show together then. So just a total massacre.
It all makes sense.
Yeah, everything is coming together.
You think I would take criticism on Twitter better? I don't. I don't know why. No, you know, if it was from women, it'd probably be better. So
probably you start following him. Any woman that wants to talk crap to Bogman, he'll immediately follow you and maybe slide into your DMs. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, what's going on? You call me. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, baby? All right, let's get into this. We got a lot to cover, and it'll be good to actually funny. We were talking about this off air before we started recording, where Frank was immediately like, hey, I just want to tell Bogman congratulations on Harden just destroying my Knicks. What was that like to watch? Like, your team just totally taking it from one of the best players in the NBA.
Oh, man, that was pretty much my whole life as a Knicks fan, just in one game. You know, they build you up, they come back a little bit, you know, they just build you up so much just to let you down. It's just, they do it all the time, and I can't say I'm surprised, man. It's James Harden going up against one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA. I said earlier in the year, I think the Knicks have the potential to be one of the worst historically bad defensive teams of all time. And they're pretty much proving it right now.
Yeah. I mean, Harden treated you guys like Khloe Kardashian. He just ran right through you.
Oh, my God.
It was brutal.
Yeah, that's true.
What's it like to be a Knicks fan, by the way? Like, what's it really like? Like, I heard so much
stuff. Probably like being a Suns fan, but at least the Suns have less media coverage.
Yeah, probably like being a Suns fan, but having like tradition and like actual good players, like having players do the water bottle challenge and whatever, just disrespecting. Yep. Like what is it like living as just in a quick nugget, as like being a Knicks fan in New York and all that? Like, how are you surviving?
It's brutal. I've barely survived my entire life.
How old are you? Were you old enough to remember them in like the 94 finals?
Like
stuff Sarks?
Like
that?
No, I'm 25. So like my earliest memory is like 99 and then, you know, just taking a beating from that Spurs dynasty. So that's my earliest memory. But it's rough, man. It's just so many years of waiting. And they're my favorite team out of like, I'm a Knicks, Jets, also terrible, and a Yankees fan. So out of all my three teams, but the Knicks are my favorite. So I'm the most emotionally invested in them, and they just let me down time after time. It's brutal. It is brutal.
Just like Bogman's love life. I totally understand what's going on here.
Yeah. Or like being a fan of any team. You know, only one can win every single year. That's why, you know, the all-time leader in championships in the NFL has six. You know, it's not it's brutal. Your team's probably going to lose every year. You have to go in. You have to kind of go in knowing that, but they might win. That's why we all watch.
Sports.
No, the Knicks will not.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, to that point, though, sports is like a microcosm of life. It's a life lesson. Like, sometimes some of us get to win. Sometimes we're only going to really have that one moment that we cling to. You know, the Al Bundy, I have four touchdowns in my high school championship. You have that one. And sometimes we just never get it. And so we're always reaching for it. It's like a microcosm to help us understand and work through life properly, that we are not going to all be winners every single year. And, you know, sometimes we'll be Knicks fans. So we'll never be winners at any point.
Yeah. But pretty much.
All right. Well, speaking of the Knicks, though, since you get to watch these guys on a consistent basis, we've got a lot of hits on some of the less talked after Knicks players. And I'm curious to get your thought on this coming into the second half of the season. Some of these names I'm going to rattle off to you. Do you think we can count on any of these guys getting consistent minutes? And do you think there's going to be any fantasy value? Brandon Jennings, Hernan Gomez, Justin Holiday, Kylo Quinn, Thomas. What do you think? Any of those names, you know, get you excited for the second half of the fantasy season, maybe in like a 12-man?
Not exactly excited. Out of all of them, I would say Brandon Jennings probably has the most value, even though we know who Brandon Jennings is. He's going to be super inconsistent. The efficiency is not there. He's shooting under 40% again this year. Going to turn the ball over, but he leads the Knicks in assists this year, 5.3 assists per game, and he leads them in steals too, so he's going to get minutes. At the least, he's going to see 20 to 25 minutes per game. And we don't really talk about handcuffs in basketball. It's not really like a thing, but Derrick Rose has missed a lot of time over the past couple of seasons. So
speaking of handcuffs and Derrick Rose, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he were to go down, I just picked up what you guys are putting down, but okay.
Sorry.
With the handcuffs, it makes sense. But yeah, I mean, Derrick Rose has missed time over the past couple of years, and in the games that Brandon Jennings has started this year without Derrick Rose, he's played well. You know, he could score 15 points in games like that. He's going to give you assists. He could shoot a couple of threes. It's just he's not going to be consistent as long as Derrick Rose is there. And he's going to shoot under 40%. So, I mean, if you can't stomach that in like a categories league, then you're probably not going to own him. Besides him, he has the most value out of all these guys. I mean, I love Kylo Quinn. Kylo Quinn, to me, has a ton of potential. But
why didn't he get more minutes?
Joakim Noah is finally coming on. That's really what it is at this point. Joakim Noah was banged up. He wasn't playing well. You know, can't shoot free throws. I mean, he never could. Just kind of like throws the ball at the basket. I don't know what he's doing when he's shooting free throws. But Kylo Quinn, he's just not going to get enough minutes. It sucks that Noah's finally coming on, and now it's going to take even more minutes away from Kylo Quinn. But he's one of these guys. He's one of the per 36 guys that we look at, like the Jokic's from years before. Is that if you look at his per 36, 15 points, 13 rebounds, 3 blocks, and nearly a steal per game. So if he ever got consistent minutes, who knows what he can do? It's just I don't think that the minutes are going to be there consistently this season with the Knicks. He's in the rotation, but he's not going to play more than 15 to 20 minutes per game. He's only averaging 15 minutes per game so far this season. So, I mean, I don't really know how much upside is there with a guy like Kylo Quinn. Justin Holiday is interesting. He reminds me a lot of a Kent Bazemore, just trajectory that he's going down right now. He's like a 3-and-D kind of guy. He could shoot threes. He's going to get a couple of steals. Field goal percentage is kind of low. I bet you that if the Knicks knew what they were getting in Holiday, they probably wouldn't have signed Courtney Lee to the contract that he did, because in my opinion, they're also pretty similar players. But now it turns out Justin Holiday is actually a rotational piece in the NBA. He's actually a pretty solid player. I don't think that there's much fantasy value there either. Hernan Gomez, another guy, that he's just not going to get the minutes because Joakim Noah is finally playing well.
What about George Hill? He's been so good when he plays, but he has missed so many games. If you have no injured list spot, are you keeping him for the upside or are you dumping him because of the injuries? A lot of people are in between on this guy. A lot of people were adding him as soon as he came back because he was on wires, and now he's getting thrown out a lot. So what are you thinking on George Hill? Because when he plays, he's great. He just hasn't played many games.
Yeah, and he's been like ridiculously good, like way better than he's ever been in his career either.
Top 20 in averages on Yahoo.
Yeah, like he's shooting 54% on the season. Just to put this in perspective, the leaders at point guard and shooting guard and field goal percentages year are Avery Bradley and Kyrie Irving, and those guys are shooting 48%. So 54% is like pretty outrageous for George Hill, especially a guy who's actually giving you three-pointers too. So it's not like all of his points are just coming in the paint. Like, he's actually just shooting really well. But, you know, this is a tough question because now he's in the concussion protocol, and we saw Al Horford earlier this season, guy that was in concussion protocol. He missed 9 games. So if we're looking at another lengthy absence of 8 to 10 games, that's like an eighth of the season right there. Another huge portion of the season that we're going to be without George Hill. I actually don't own him in any leagues, so I don't have to make this decision. It's really tough. In 10-team leagues, I could see maybe dropping him because there's probably a lot on the waiver wire. But I looked at my 12-team leagues that I'm in, just my normal standard leagues that have, you know, 3 bench slots. And the top point guards are Emmanuel Mudiay, Marcus Smart, Seth Curry. Are you really going to drop George Hill for one of those guys? Like, I just can't. I can't imagine doing it. I mean,
maybe Mudiay. Maybe Mudiay.
Yeah, that's the only one I was thinking about. He's been playing a lot better lately, but it just seems like his minutes fluctuate. He's super inconsistent. I mean, he's another guy, like, very similar to Brandon Jennings. He's going to have those games where he absolutely destroys your field goal percentage. He's under 40% on the year, too. So Mudiay is tough. He does help you with the stuff and things. I know you guys like to throw around the stuff.
Yeah, good reference.
but, you know, George Hill does a lot of that, too. 19 points this year, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He'd get you a steal per game. This is a really tough one. I think if I'm in a 12-team league, I'm probably holding on to him. If you're one of those teams that's maybe in the middle of the pack and you really have to try to win now, or if you're falling behind and you're trying to make up some ground, I guess you got to drop him. But really, in most cases, I think I'm trying to hold on to George Hill. He really fits into this Jazz team well. I mean, if you look at the team there, I mean, very well-rounded team, great defensively, and now they finally have enough offensive pieces where, you know, they can compete in the Western Conference. Maybe not with the Warriors, but, you know, they're finally making strides. You know, they have Rudy Gobert, they have Gordon Hayward, Rodney Hood, they have everybody in place. They just need George Hill to get healthy.
Well, speaking of point guards, let's move to this one here, because it's not the same situation, but it has some implications of doing the same things. What do you think about this Rondo situation? DNP does not fit the team. We could be seeing trades, we could be seeing buyouts. He's sparring with Butler over the ball. It's just not working. It's not going to work. I even speculated earlier saying Brandon Knight would be a great trade piece for the Bulls to try to acquire him. He fits what they're trying
That's
to do.
Not bad.
But let's talk about Rondo for a second. How long do you think this bench situation lasts? And would you add him if somebody dropped him? Or would you try to trade for him at this point?
I definitely would not try to trade for him. That to me, that's out of the question. If someone dropped him, I would take a flyer on him. But he's been so bad. I wanted nothing to do with him coming in this season. I spoke a little bit basketball before the season started, talking about, you know, guys that I'm just not going to touch. Rajon Rondo was one of those guys. I just didn't see how he fit this Chicago Bulls team. You have Jimmy Butler and D-Wade, who already, both of those guys like to play with the ball in their hand. And really, I mean, they're not great shooters either. And then you bring in a guy like Rajon Rondo as well. It
didn't make any sense.
No, it didn't at all. It's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It didn't make sense for this team. I don't really know why he left the Sacramento Kings. That seemed like a much better situation. He got along with DeMarcus Cousins. And Rajon Rondo, he's kind of a head case. I mean, we've seen this throughout his career. He didn't mesh well towards the end in Boston. He didn't mesh well in Dallas. Just couldn't get along with Rick Carlisle. He was a train wreck there. If this guy does not have everything fall in place for him, he's like a crybaby. He's just not going to get what he wants, and then he just doesn't play well. What I hate about him most is the field goal percentage. He is a terrible shooter. I don't understand how you're in the NBA and you just don't work on your craft. Like, you're supposed to be able to shoot and score if you're in the NBA. I understand that he's a great passer and he's a point guard. He is a true pass-first point guard, but 29% career three-point shooter, 60% free throw shooter throughout his career. I mean, that is just dreadful. Those are like, that's like a DeAndre Jordan mark right there, like 60%, and you're a guard in the NBA. This year, he's shooting 18% on shots between 10 and 16 feet from the basket. 18%. From
are you mid-range. Just mad because you know he's going to be a Nick next year?
He's totally going to be a Nick this year. He's going to be a Nick this
year. Please don't say this. Don't say this. No, I was saying in the offseason they were going to bring in Rondo and Dwight Howard, and I was just going to completely like combust. Like bringing those two guys and putting them together on one team, I thought for sure the Knicks were going to do it.
You're going to be a Nets fan. You're like I'm going to be a Nets fan. That's what I'm going to be.
No, honestly, it would be better. It would be better to be a Nets fan than to watch Dwight Howard and potentially Rajon Rondo and Carmelo Anthony. Look, I know a lot of Knicks fans are Carmelo Anthony supporters. I am not one of them. I hate the fact that they brought him back. I mean, for every one game that he has a huge Melo type game, he has 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row where he's just terrible. He's just ISO ball every play. You can ask anyone who knows me. I'm not a big Melo fan. I mean, that's something that we could save for another day. But
well, you know, Ed, that actually made me laugh. Real quick, I'm going to ask you both this just real quick. We did a debate early on in the season, and I pitted Carmelo Anthony versus Jabari Parker. And I went Jabari.
I remember that, too.
Bogman, I don't remember what you did, but regardless, who would you take right now?
Oh, Jabari.
Yeah.
I don't think it's close.
Yeah, it's not even close.
You got to take Jabari because not only... You know, not only has he been playing better, but you have the injury history with Carmelo. You know, all the back stuff. That's scary for the rest of your career.
We saw somebody just posted to us. They wanted to know, I want to sell high in Nicholas Batum, and I can get Carmelo Anthony. And we were like, well, no. You could trade Nicholas Batum high, I agree with, but Carmelo Anthony is not the high, not the type of high that you're looking for.
No.
So
no, certainly not.
You want a body high, not a Carmelo high.
Yeah, player high. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'd much rather have Jabari Parker than Melo. It's really not close. One of them is on the he's rising in his career, and Melo is on a downturn. Just getting back to Rondo real quick though, like I would not willingly go out and try to trade for him. I could see the Bulls, you know, moving on from him. The thing is, I just don't know where he's gonna go. Like, what team is actually gonna trade for Rajon Rondo? Like, can you guys come up with a team that would actually like start him as their starter?
How about this? How awful would this be? The Miami Heat. Like, not as a starter. He's not going to get a job anywhere. He's not going to be a starter anywhere. But you got to look at situations where's a team that would possibly want a point guard body that is fighting for something? And if the Heat were to move Dragic, that could be a spot with the Miami Heat. That would be gross.
I'm trying to think of teams. It's tough, man.
What about San Antonio Spurs?
God, just horrible.
And then you would go there and average 14 assists a game somehow.
Okay, like, I got one.
Pop would make it work.
This is gonna weird everybody out. How about the Oklahoma City Thunder? How about a ball distributor being there with Oladipo and Westbrook when they just sent Cameron Payne down in the D-League?
I hope Detroit signs him just to screw up everything that's already messed up.
Well, you know, and Rondo, what he used to be is so passe in the NBA. He used to be one of the very only few guys that could get you triple-doubles, you know? Like, when the NBA would only have 15 triple-doubles in a whole year, and Rajon Rondo would be like 9 of them. There was this inherent value, and Russell Westbrook does that in a 2-week spread. So, you know, triple-doubles...
Somehow he used to shoot better. Also,
yeah, I mean, he's awful. You know. So I think we all agree on that. We're not doing much with Rondo. Maybe you could speculate. I would speculate in a points league. I don't know if I'd speculate in a cat. I don't know if I could. I don't think I could do it even in a 16-man 9 cat. I just don't want him. I don't want. I'd rather have Brogdon. I'd have Brogdon over Rondo.
Brogdon, that's what he'll go to Milwaukee. That would be fantastic. What about, speaking of getting moved, Millsap? They say the Hawks are saying they're actively shopping him now because he said he's going to opt out. Do you think that getting moved for him in most situations, do you think it would be a good move, a bad move, or kind of doesn't matter? Paul Millsap's going to be Paul Millsap type of move. And are you trading him or trading him away if you own him because of this potential move?
I would not look to trade him, but I have to say that I think if he leaves Atlanta, I don't think that helps his value, because I think he is, you know, if not the top guy, he's the second scorer on that team that they go to, you know, consistently. but a few teams that are being thrown around to be interested in him are the Blazers and the Raptors. If he goes to either one of those teams, he easily becomes the third option on that team. Like, he's not going to get more touches than Lillard or McCollum, and he's certainly not going to, you know, take anything away from Lowry or DeRozan. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen any other teams that he could go to. It makes sense for him to go to those teams because, you know, those teams, they're trying to contend. I'd say the Raptors are probably closer than the Blazers are, but both of them could use help at the power forward position. I know the Raptors might eventually get Jared Sullinger back, but he's not a huge game changer. I mean, Paul Millsap is pretty legit. If he ends up, if one of those teams is able to get Paul Millsap, he is a game changer. He can really propel them, you know, into being a contender. But this season, he's been pretty consistent. He's still Paul Millsap, but since he's been on the Hawks, that's really where he's thrived. He's been much better on the Hawks than he was on the Jazz, and I just think that if he leaves this team with Mike Budenholzer, that the numbers are just not going to be as consistent as they were in Atlanta, you know, all-star in three straight seasons, and I think he will take a backseat if he goes to any of those other teams. My question for you guys, if you don't mind, yeah, why would the Hawks want to trade him, though? Well, I understand.
He's going
to
opt out.
Yeah, he notified them that he's going to opt out.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not going to resign. Yeah, Atlanta, they're cheapskates. I mean, they're not going to, I don't think, obviously, with what they're doing. They let Al Horford go. And
yeah,
it's either A, they're not going to pay him what he's going to get in the open market next year, or there's something more we don't know. You know, Horford leaving left a sting. They got rid of Jeff Teague, and it's a team of Dwight Howard and Dennis Schroeder. And I don't. And Dwight Howard hasn't exactly been known as the best teammate. So I could see it. I could see why. So it's a team that's trying to cut their losses. The only problem with this, and we should have pointed this out earlier, Bogman, and we didn't. When you see a report like that, to me, it's Paul Millsap's agent. The Hawks have 0.0% interest or positive reaction to releasing this news, because then you've just hurt your market. You've just told
people. The only thing I can think of, though, is you turn it into a bidding war. You know, you say, hey, look, you know, these teams are interested. What are you going to give me? Because if they're really thinking, if they are really and truly thinking of, just selling him to the highest bidder, then you make it a bidding process the best you can. But you're probably right. I mean, I think most news like this comes from an agent or, you know, someone invested in Paul Millsap getting moved.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you for the most part, Frank. I mean, the Portland one's interesting. There's almost
Houston, because Houston's in there and they could offer maybe Capella or in a pick, or, you know, Harrell in a pick, something.
But do you think Houston really needs him, though? I mean, they have Ryan Anderson and Trevor Ariza.
They need a Stephen Thanks guy. That would have been actually my only argument.
Right. I don't know if they absolutely need him, but I don't know. You know, does Millsap get them past the Spurs or the Warriors in the Western Conference?
Maybe.
Probably not.
I might argue for you. I might say that different. The difference with Paul, and this would be one of my arguments with what we were talking about here, is like, Paul Millsap doesn't need to go to a team where he's the number one option. That's not his game. It's never been his game. It'll never be his game. He thrives being a guy that does all the stuff. He scores 17 points a night, gets 8 rebounds, 4 or 5 assists, gets you a steal, gets you a block, gets you a 3 and some percentages. He'll do that if he's teamed up with Lowry and McCollum, or if he's teamed up with Harden and Eric Gordon. You know, he's still going to do that. A team like the Rockets could use him because all their players are the same, you know? You don't need 12 players that can shoot 10 threes a game. So I think a great spot would be there.
He's way more versatile than Howard, too. He can shoot the three. You know, he can pull out. He can defend the big man. I know Patrick Beverly can defend anybody, but it'd be better to have Millsap on a big guy.
Yeah. So. Last one here, Frank, and then we'll get to our player debates. Who are you aggressively trying to trade for or trade now that offers will start coming in? You know, football's over. People's focus is starting to shift. A lot of people who've been playing fantasy basketball have their foot half in, but everybody, this is the focus now, you know, unless you're a hockey guy and you're probably not playing basketball. Yeah. So active trying to trade for, or active trying to trade now? Do you have a guy or two you're looking at?
Yeah. So I kind of have like a whole like theory behind this, is that if I have the players that are on contending teams, I know this is going to sound kind of crazy, but you guys let me know what you think about this later on down the stretch of the season, when the Cavs and the Warriors and the Spurs have already, you know, clinched their playoff spot, and they're just doing what they normally do, and they're resting their players. is it crazy to try and trade those guys now that are on your fantasy team, like the LeBron James of the world and Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, Kevin Durant, Steph? Because these guys are going to rest when you need them most, you know, in the fantasy playoffs. I remember last year, it was killing me playing all the way out to the end of the NBA season. It just seemed like there were so many players taking games off, or, you know, because it's the end of the season, there's just so many guys that are hurt and just not playing.
You got to end a week or two before the end. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
It's turning into week 17 of the NFL season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where all these players are going to be sitting. So you got to end at least a week, probably 2 weeks before the season ends.
My most important thing through all of this, because I don't necessarily disagree, I remember we faced this like 2 years ago when there was this really odd, heavy playoff schedule in basketball where like the Cavs played, you know, two games in the championship and it was really odd. And, you know, we were telling people you might want to sell off your Cavs, and there was a Bulls thing too, and selling Jimmy Butler. I, for the most part, I wouldn't say like I would, yes, I would do that. I would do that as long as I'm getting the value. So if you're telling me, okay, I got to get rid of LeBron because of this, so I'm going to go get Batum and a little piece, no thanks. But if
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, if I could get LeBron for Paul Millsap, you know, let's say Millsap just stays, just for argument's sake here, and I could trade LeBron for him, okay, I'm in for that. I'm in for what you're selling. If I could trade Curry and I could get Kawhi, or I mean, easy GA. Yeah, I'm in for that, but it's got to be like 95 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, like trying to go after players that are going to be competing for a playoff spot. Like, you know, the Bucks are right there right now. So that was the guy that I was consistently looking at, was Antetokounmpo. Like, if you could turn around Durant or Curry or LeBron for like a GA right now, I think I would go out there and I would do it, because the Bucks are going to be a team that's competing down the stretch, and you know that Antetokounmpo is going to be at the center of all of it. Like, he's going to be their guy, and I don't think there's going to be any game where he's taken off. I mean, he's still super young, and he's their guy right now. A couple other guys just on teams that are going to be, you know, vying for a playoff spot. What about like John Wall or Jimmy Butler or the Pacers guys like Paul George, Miles Turner, Jeff Teague? These are just guys, in my opinion, that are going to have a lot to play for down the stretch, and they're probably not going to be sitting out games. So I just kind of wanted to pose that question to you guys to see, you know, am I crazy for thinking that way?
No, philosophically, I think you're on the right track. I think you're definitely on the right track. I think it's a sound strategy. It's just, I see a lot from the questions we've gotten over the last 3 years about this, is people get a little bonkers and don't know how to, they don't know how to control themselves in these questions, and we get
like
questions.
They trade off LeBron for like five mediocre guys.
Dude, like, don't trade him just to trade him, you know? Like, don't just trade him to trade him. Like, you I agree. You want to understand, like, you have to get the value. But if you can, like, I would go after, you know, these guys that are going to have so much more to play for. And you know,
you set a bottom marker of a player, really, for me. That's what I'd do, is I'd say I have to get one of these five guys.
Yeah.
And if I don't get one of these five guys, I'm just going to hold on to LeBron. I'm
quality
just
over
hold
quantity.
On to whoever. Yeah. Exactly.
Over quantity.
That does make a lot of sense. Just real quick, just if I'm an Anthony Davis owner, I know you guys talk about it all the time, I would actively be looking to sell him. I got burned by him last year, and I don't know if it's a thing that I'm just like bitter about, because I had the first overall pick last year and I took him over Steph Curry, and I just watched my season just crumble.
You're
in
bitter,
my hands,
Frank.
like during the draft. But I mean, look, he's missed at least 14 games in every single season, so the law of averages says that he's going to miss some games in the second half. Am I right?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It's tough to sell him because he's so good.
You sons of bitches are going to get yourselves caught. I'm just like, you can trade him. You can trade him. I'm down. But it's quality over quantity. And
you trade AD and you get GA.
You can't do it.
You
can't do it now. GA is too effing good. I'm in a keeper league. Bogdan and I are in a long-term keeper league. I want GA, and I have Harden and Westbrook, and I know I'd have to give up one, and I've given thought to it. Like, I want GA that bad. You can't get GA for AD at this point, and I don't think you can get this is the best player I think you can get for AD right now. It's Karl Anthony Towns, because he's playing down. Well, are you going to do it?
I probably wouldn't do that. I'd probably do Anthony Davis.
I wouldn't do it straight up. I'd have to get something with Karl Anthony
Towns. But you're not. But I'm saying, they say, I'll only give you Karl Anthony Towns.
Then no. Then but that, I'm going to hold that's the best on to number
you can
one
do.
Player.
I think it's the best you can do. I don't think you can get KD. I don't think you can get Curry. I don't think you can get Kawhi. I don't
you
think you can
get
do it.
Somebody to take a risk. Not every league, but I think a lot of leagues. I bet 50% of leagues you get somebody to take a risk on them.
What if you're
there's
enough
people that have your thought, the Welsh, that I think you're more trading for AD, aren't you?
I would. I bet I could get AD cheaper than I think his cost to acquire is easier to make happen than me trading him to get the value that I want, if that made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it made sense.
What were you going to say, Frank?
Like, what if you're in a position where you need depth and you could get, like, two solid players who will be better than the guy that you're trading away? Say you could get, like a Miles Turner and a Jimmy Butler together.
Yeah,
you know what? That's fine. I know the Welsh isn't big on that, but I'll tell you where that's acceptable. That's acceptable if you're doing everything you can and it's not working right now. So if you are doing everything you possibly can and you own Anthony Davis and you are just sitting in eighth, ninth place, it's not working for you, go get two players. See if that works. What are you going to lose?
You know what my swing
if
player
is? If it doesn't work, you're still going to be down there.
My one swing player that I might legit actually trade LeBron straight up for, and if I were getting a twofer in Anthony Davis, you know who that guy is? That's Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert, he's a breaker for me. He's the type of player I'm willing to take the risk on. And if someone came to me and I had Anthony Davis and they're like, I'll give you Gobert and, you know, Kyle Lowry or something like that, I'm like, yeah, I'm in. You know, or Gobert and another equivalent-ish, top-ish
Kemba
player.
Walker.
Don't talk to me about Kemba. You know, I
you hate
face.
Kemba.
I hate his face.
You hate him. Like, Kemba for me is my bottom line.
Why do you hate Kemba?
You have to find your Kemba Walker line. You know what I mean?
I used to love Kemba. There's just something just overplayed about him.
I will say I only love him because I watched him at UConn. Like, that is my big thing.
I agree completely.
In that tournament. He was amazing.
He was awesome. That step back where he made the guy fall down and just end the game. That's what basketball is all about. Like, if you don't love that, then you don't love basketball.
You know what I love? I love his most recent gif of him shooting that three, missing it, turning around and doing the shitty. That's my
so
favorite.
Great.
Yeah, it's the best thing.
So
it's the best thing on the internet right now.
All right, those were some great questions for Frank, but we're going to move on to our famous player debates. Everybody knows them. Everybody loves them. I made them this week, so they're particularly good.
Oh, they're amazing.
They're amazing. Best debates you've ever seen. Oh, I've got the best debates, the Welsh. They're fantastic.
I do all the debates. I win all the debates. All the other all people the that do debates are losers. They're Hillary's, they're losers.
Wrong opinion. But those are coming up right after the break here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
I'm Stick Trump.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, guys, player debates. Frank, you listen to the show. You know how this goes. We're going to do player versus player matchups. We got three matchups. We're picking rest of season value. Bogman did these, and these are some pretty good ones. I like these ones. First up, we're going to start with you, Frank. Montrezl, who we said is the favorite name of all white guys in America to say. Montrezl Harrell versus John Henson. Rest of season, who do you want?
Man, this is close, but it really depends on Jason Kidd. And you guys talk about it all the time. Like, Jason Kidd is like he is fantasy cancer. Like, that's exactly what he is. Like, he changes up rotations constantly. Why Greg Monroe is not starting on this team makes absolutely no sense to me. I'm a big fan of Henson. I love that, you know, he could block shots. He gives you those stuff and things that we want in fantasy so badly. It's so hard to come across blocks, especially a guy, you know, off the waiver wire that we, you know, he's been on the waiver wire all year and we've been able to pick him up. But because Jason Kidd is his head coach, I'm going to leave with Montrezl Harrell. I know that it's more of like a short term thing because Clint Capella is going to come back. But like you guys mentioned, like maybe they move Clint Capella for a Paul Millsap kind of piece or, you know, somewhere, make some kind of move like that. But Harrell is pretty damn good. He's very similar to Clint Capella. He's like a high energy, you know, defensive kind of efficient, high efficiency player. He's going to shoot over 60%. James Harden makes this guy's life so easy. I mean, he just finds him cutting to the basket all the time. Dunk. All of his points come in the paint. He gets alley-oops. He gets those backdoor cuts. I'm a Montrezl Harrell guy. I like him. He's going to give you some blocks, too. And I think the minutes are going to be more consistent now while Clint Capella is out. It is a harder question to answer because Clint Capella is going to come back. But in the short term, I think I would rather have Harrell. And then maybe even when Capella comes back, Harrell, you know, still holds on to his, you know, rotation piece and still seeing, you know, 20 minutes per game. That's probably enough for him, you know, warrant being the end of your roster in a 12-team league or, you know, a 14-team league ad.
Bogman.
For me, it's got to be Harrell. You know, I love John Henson. I think that, you know, we talked about this with Dan before. He's a guy that you can own three or four times in the year. But until Greg Monroe gets moved, Henson is, he's up, he's down, and he's up, he's down. We don't know what is happening with them. So I'm going to take Harrell. I think, you know, I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, the Welsh, that, you know, with the Rockets trying to trade for another big guy, it doesn't say a lot about Clint Capella's help. And if they, you know, if they do trade for another big guy, then Harrell's value is going to take a hit. But if they don't and Capella is hurt for longer or doesn't play again this season, Harrell, you know, I mean, and the more he impresses, the less likely that the need for a big man is gonna be on the Rockets. So I'm gonna take Harrell for now. You know, I think I wouldn't be surprised if you drop both of these guys in 2 months, or if one of them is way better than the other, and it could go either way. But for right now, I'm gonna take Harrell, and because they're waiver wire guys, I want the guy playing better right now.
Montrezl on December 30th scored 29 points. John Henson,
career high.
Yeah, career high. John Henson scored 29 points when you combine his last six games. So, a little perspective. One of these players, Montrezl Harrell, blocked seven shots over his last six games. Over the last six games, John Henson has blocked five shots. And we roster John Henson because of the damn blocks and because of the rebounds. Montrezl has more rebounds, more blocks, more points, more action, more minutes, more everything. There's no quote-unquote upside to holding John Henson anymore. It doesn't matter. It's like rock. It doesn't matter what he's ever done because Jason Kidd is there. Just this wacko human being that's like the puppet master. He's like this schizophrenic kid who's like playing with his toys and he's like, you know, he's like, just like throw, break the table and throw everything. Jason Kidd is a madman. And
yes, he is.
I don't want anything in my life in the hands of a madman. We saw Montrezl when we went to that Rocket Suns game. He looked good. He's continued to play good. Play the hot hand. You guys both said it. These are waiver wire guys. You could cut them both at any minute. You could pick up John Lure or something, Marquise Chris. But go with the hot hand. Don't hold on to John Henson, you know, until you regret it. Because
and we know it's pronounced Montrez. We just love the way it's spelled.
Montrezl. It's always going to be Montrezl to me.
I would name my kid Montrezl.
I would totally. I might change my name's kid to my kid's name to Montrezl.
Please don't do that. Please, neither one of you do that to your kids.
The Montrezl.
The Montrezl. Do the Montrezl. It's an alley-oop dunk from James Harden. Yeah. The next one here, fellas, Gordon Hayward versus Jabari Parker. Frank, both these guys are really close. What do you think between these two?
So I love you guys, but I hate you guys for making me choose between these two guys. But this is like making me choose between Eva Longoria and J-Lo. Like, how do you choose?
You can never be wrong.
Eva Longoria. But yeah, you could do that.
Because I have to choose one, I'm going to go with Gordon Hayward. But I loved both of these guys coming into the season. I mean, before Gordon Hayward went down with like that freak injury, I had him ranked inside like my top 30 to draft this season. Like I was willing to take him in like the early third round. I love everything about Gordon Hayward. He just helps across the board. He's going to get you points, threes, assists, rebounds. He's going to give you a steal per game. And he's improved his efficiency a ton since he came back. I know when he first came back, he was kind of struggling with his shot, but he's really come on lately. I know Jabari Parker also has been on fire over the past 2 weeks. Very similar numbers between the two, and Jabari Parker's field goal percentage is even better. But, you know, Gordon Hayward does have the edge in free throw percentage. He's going to shoot close to 90% from the line, and because of that, just across the board production, I lean Gordon Hayward. But it is so, so close.
What do you think, the Welsh?
Well, it is close. But I got to go with my guy, Jabari Parker. I mean, there's a lot that goes in Gordon Hayward's favor. Statistically, I was looking at them over the last 30 days, which I'm assuming Bogman did because they're neck and neck, 34 and 35 overall in Yahoo, even their preseason.
Well, they're the whole season, I think they're 45 and 40.
Yeah, so these guys are just right next to each other. And it's just, it's like a trade-off. Jabari's got the field goal percentage. Hayward's got the free throw. Hayward does kind of lock down some of these other categories here. Steals are the same thing. But one of the things that's impressive to me is Jabari Parker, you know, at a 22.5 point clip here, he's shooting 16, almost 17 shots a game. only 1.5 turnovers over the last 30 days. I mean, that it's because he's got Antetokounmpo. He's got Brogdon. You know, there's a lot of movement in that offense. He's with a madman, but in this instance, Jabari Parker is Jason Kidd-proof. We've talked about that. GA and Parker are Kidd-proof. There's nothing that guy can do. Like, even Jason Kidd can't talk himself into benching.
I can't believe you just said that. Well, you just ruined his whole career at the Welsh. I hope you're happy with yourself.
Jabari Parker will be benched next game.
And if he does, if he does, I just want everybody that listens to the show to just start writing letters to the Milwaukee Bucks about Jason Kidd. Like, you know what? I'm going to say this right now. I will start a campaign, a GoFundMe, where we will try to buy a billboard in Milwaukee to fire Jason Kidd. If Jabari Parker gets like 20 minutes and gets a DNP for like the next 7 games or something, we are going to fund together to get a billboard to get Jason Kidd out of town. But I'm going to take Jabari Parker. It's a personal preference thing. You're getting threes. You're getting free throws. Gordon Hayward is playing at good Gordon Hayward clip, but I think Jabari Parker is increasingly improving throughout the season, and that's my guy.
You know, I mean, you guys laid out all the stats, and I could sit here and tell you stats again. They're the same. They're so close to the same, it's not even funny. We mentioned their rank is close. Their stats are close, everything. The reason I'm going to take Parker. The reason I'm going to take Parker is because when you look at what Utah is doing, you know, and what Hayward in particular is doing, he's doing all this stuff, and they have a couple big players that haven't played healthy for a big chunk of the season. George Hill, we mentioned before, has missed big stretches. He's already missed 20 games. And Derek Favors, I don't know what is wrong with him. I don't know if he's going to come back and be an impact or not, but he has the chance to come back and be an impact type of player. And so does George Hill. So if both of those guys came back, it could possibly take away from Gordon Hayward. So for that reason, I'll take Jabari Parker, but they're neck and neck. You're really splitting hairs. If these two guys are involved in a trade and the second guy, the smaller guy, I'm assuming, is lopsided, take whoever. Take the one that has the better upside of the second player, because these guys are so straight down the line, it doesn't really matter.
I'd also say that these are good players if it's team construction. So if you've got a team that is...
Well, they fit with any team, too.
They do.
That's the best part.
They do, but like you could almost treat these guys straight up if, let's just say for an instance, you have a team where you've been great at your threes and free throw, but you need it better. Okay, go get Gordon Hayward. Trade Parker for Hayward. He's going to even boost that up even more. If you've been consistently losing in your threes and free throws and you want better field goal percentage and you want lower turnovers, you can get Parker. So, I mean, these guys could simply be swaps for team construction. Now, I'm not like a huge, huge fan of that, but you're right. They are neck and neck. Last one here. This is a pretty interesting one because preseason, this is easy. Now, this could be a little bit closer because these guys both have some injury issues. Bogman, we'll start with you. I'll jump in and then we'll end with Frank here. Kyrie Irving versus Chris Paul.
I put this one on here because I'm super frustrated with Chris Paul, because we saw him finally get back to being healthy the last 2 years after having extended periods of time of being a lot like Anthony Davis, like a guy who is upper tier, but you can't take in the top 7 or 8 because you know he's going to miss a big chunk of games. And he was, you know, most likely the 6th or 7th guy off your board this year because he's going to be healthy. Now he's missing games, but Kyrie has also missed games. You know, I feel like Chris Paul is still the guy, and Blake Griffin's going to miss some time, and he's been injury prone. So I really like the fact that they, you know, if Chris Paul's going to miss games, he's going to miss games now in the dead middle of the season. Kyrie Irving has had chronic stuff, and it's been throughout his entire career. So for that reason, I'm going to go with Chris Paul. I'm almost kind of throwing the stats out because I don't know how much they make a difference between these guys. It's not much. I mean, Chris Paul ranks 6, Irving's 24, but Paul's hurt right now. So if you needed production right now, I can understand a trade where you get Kyrie Irving back and you're trading away Chris Paul, but I want extra on top. And anytime I look at two guys and I say, okay, if I'm trading for them straight up, I have to lean one way, so I'm going to have to get more for the other guy. I say I'm going to have to get more for Chris Paul, so Chris Paul is my guy.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you just really quickly here. And just to add to your thing, over the last 30 days, Kyrie has been better than Chris Paul. Kyrie's been ranked 12. Chris Paul has ranked 14th. Chris Paul has also missed, it looks like, five of his last six games, you know. But it's a great point. Like, when you said it, I was like shaking my head like, yep, you're right. Chris Paul's going to miss his games now, and Kyrie Irving will miss his games later. And I do agree with that. And statistically, from the point guard perspective, I just want Chris Paul. It's kind of not close. I'm not, and that's not a dog on Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving is a great player. But I want the guy that averages more, two more assists a game than the other guy. I want the guy that averages more rebounds. I don't care about the points, even though Kyrie Irving has been pretty decent with steals. I always have loved Chris Paul's game. And ironically, 3 years ago, Bogman knows I would have said Kyrie Irving over Chris Paul. But we don't need points to set the game up. Chris Paul is still, you know, he's the playmaker on this team. Plenty of times, LeBron James is the ball carrier, if you will, in Cleveland, bringing the ball up. And Kyrie is the off guard. So I'm going to go with Chris Paul. A little bit more on the stuff and things. Frank, are you going to sweep this, or are you going to defend Kyrie Irving?
Break out the brooms, baby. It's a clean sweep. For all the reasons that you guys already brought up, Kyrie Irving also has an injury history. And like I mentioned earlier, I could see him sitting out games down the stretch, you know, when the Cavs already have the top seed in the East. Chris Paul is like the ultimate stuff and things point guard. Like, he gives you steals. He's super elite in assists still, even more so than Kyrie Irving. They actually shoot very similar three-pointers. Like, there's this image that Kyrie Irving is like so much better three-point shooter, but if you look at the numbers on the season, they're both shooting around two threes per game, so it's really not that far off. I'm not going to take Kyrie just for the points. That's really the only category I would say that he has the edge over Chris Paul. I know he's been very efficient over the past 30 days, like you mentioned. He's shooting something crazy, like over 50%, but Chris Paul is also pretty consistent. I don't like that he's banged up now, but once he gets back with Blake Griffin out of the lineup, the usage is going to just be through the roof for Chris Paul, as it normally is. So pretty much for all the same reasons that you guys already mentioned, I'm making it a clean sweep and I'm going Chris Paul. Like, realistically, would you trade Chris Paul for Kyrie Irving if you could in the league? I don't think anybody would do that.
No, I don't see why anybody would. I mean, the only marker would be maybe
you have to have production
league,
like right now.
Oh, keeper league.
Keeper league. That
makes sense.
Yeah, you know, or, you know, some auction league, auction keeper league where prices are different. But I don't know if Kyrie Irving and Chris Paul's, you know, price fluctuation would be that much different. But okay, Kyrie Irving at $30 or Chris Paul at $40. I mean, that doesn't sway me to want Kyrie over Chris Paul still.
No, I think it'd have to be 45. I think he'd have to be talking about like a $15 difference, because that's like a $15 can get you a decent player in most auctions.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it'd have to be bigger than $10.
That's true. Well, Frank, at @Roto_Frank, you can find him again at, on the Fantasy First Look. You can hear it Mondays, 8 to 10 Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, where we have our show, 8 to 10 Eastern on Wednesdays. So make sure to download the app. We have people in the ITL Army that were like, didn't know. I feel like we talk about this enough. Didn't even know when we aired on the Fantasy Sports Network. And I was like, dude, get the app. Listen, Wednesdays, 8 to 10. And while you're at it, Mondays, 8 to 10, you can go listen to Frank's badass show. Right, Frank?
Yeah, for sure, man. The best part is that it's free. Like, how much stuff can you get in life that's free? And, you know, we're getting all this great content, you know, myself, you, Joe Pizapia. There's just so many guys. There's so many great guys, so many veterans. So, you know, check it out, man. It doesn't hurt. It will not hurt you. It'll certainly it'll probably help you in your league.
Yeah, absolutely it will. And Frank's also behind the scenes with a bunch of these great shows. You can find him over at Roto Experts. You can find him on Twitter. He's doing all the stuff. He's doing all the things. He's a stuff and things guys, folks. Frank, we love you. We always appreciate that you've been a listener, and definitely glad to have you on. And we'll have you on. We'll have you on more. I mean, you're in the no halftime pros league, and you're fighting. You're not quite at Welsh status, but you know you're better than Bogman.
Well, that's something.
That's a big something. That's a great something,
better,
Frank.
I'm better than Posh Spice.
Yeah, you're definitely. You're not quite Baby Spice here, but you're better than Posh Spice for sure. All right.
Somewhere in between.
Exactly. At @Roto_Frank, Frank Stanfill. We love you, brother.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Well, we want to thank Frank again. Thank him for coming on. He's great. I hope you're listening to his show, and he has his hand in so many of the other shows here. So give it up for Frank. Fantasy basketball, we're deep in it, guys. Don't let it go by the wayside. Fantasy football tends to have negative consequences to fantasy basketball sometimes, and people not paying attention. This is the time to jump. I hope we hit that home well. Jump on it. Get on it. You can start.
Unless you're on a ledge. Don't jump off a ledge.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Don't do that. But you can start all of it by going to inthisleague.com. Download and subscribe all of our podcasts. Get all of our information. Check out the ITL Army if you want to be a part of a pretty hardcore fantasy community. We would love to have you. And you can find us on Twitter at isitthewelsh, at Bogman Sports. We'll be back right here next Wednesday, 8 to 10 Eastern, all of this 2017. We've been doing it one time, and we'll do it a little bit more. Until then, it's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Peace out.
Play it.